I'm very thankful for this opportunity to be here this evening. We ask you for your prayers that we want to leave a few words of encouragement with you. And we're expecting the Lord to help us to do that. I'd like to think that we're all here this evening in the presence of the Lord, that I stand before you in the presence of the Lord, and we're leaning on Him to get us through these next few minutes, to give us the words to speak and to relay to you. So I just ask that you please pray for us. I very much appreciate the fact that, very thankful that we have an opportunity to serve a God that has made Himself available to us, that sees and knows our every need, and that has promised us repeatedly through His Word to supply that every need. And with that in mind, I've written on the board, more is available, and I would like to focus on that word more. I know at first glance, first thought, that the thought of more being available can kind of have a negative connotation to it. Maybe typically when we think of having more or getting more or acquiring more, it can tend to have kind of a selfish or a greedy, that can kind of be a selfish or a greedy character trait, I guess you could say. And I don't think we can deny the fact that we do live in that type of a atmosphere, in that type of a world where we live amongst people who are always looking for something bigger, something better, something, what else can I acquire? How many more feathers can I put in my hat? What kind of statement, what else can I get so that I can make a statement and let people know where I'm at in life? What else can I do? We live in a society where you can have anything you want to have. You can be anything you want to be if you push hard enough. So I understand when we could perceive those type of thoughts and feelings from this title. But while that is certainly a well-known, a very heavily desired thought and very obtainable, I'd really like to focus on the more that is available through Jesus. And the more that He has to offer. I was very challenged this morning. Brother Rod mentioned that Jesus wants an alive Christian. He wants somebody that is alive, somebody that has, and I'm using my own words here, that has the motivation to push on, that is alive in Christ. And you realize we can only have that aliveness, or we can only be alive in Christ, if we are willing to take part of and take a hold of the things and the more things that Christ wants to offer us, the things that Christ has made available to us. So that is the focus of my thought this evening, is the more that is available through Christ. Knowing that no matter what situation I find myself in this life, no matter what I come up against, no matter what presents itself in my path as I am on this journey, that through Christ and with Christ, that everything that all the help that the world wants to give me, all the again, referring to what was mentioned this morning, all the self-helps that I can hear and all the motivational speakers and all these places I can go and all these little things that are out there to help me and all the little things that I think I might have at my disposal to propel me through this journey, that I'm not going to be able to fulfill my journey or to get to my destination, and that is to be with Christ, if I don't accept the things that He has to offer. If I don't accept the more, the things that He is willing to give me. There was a verse in John, what did Jesus say there? I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it how? More abundantly. Yes, I came to give you life. Here is a new life. Here is the life I want to give you. But I'm not going to give you this life. I'm not going to give you this life and walk away and leave you on your own. No, there's something going forward. I have more to offer you. I have more to give you that's going to sustain, that's going to keep you as you journey through this life. So I want us to be reminded of the fact this evening that there is no situation that is too big, that is that we're going to face, that the power of Jesus and what He has to offer is, there is nothing that we will ever face in this life, no matter where we're coming from, what problems we have had in the past, that Jesus and the things, the power that He wants to give, cannot overcome. I don't think we would ever find any time in Scripture where someone came to Jesus or Jesus came before someone and their case was presented to Him, and not once did we find where Jesus would say, I'm sorry, I can't deal with this, this is too big for me. But no, Jesus always had a solution. He always had some words of encouragement to give. He always had love to give. He always had a way out. He provided a way for that person to come out of whatever situation they were in. And let's thank the Lord for the more that Christ has to offer. I was reminded of the story, John chapter 4, the woman at the well. And we won't read this whole story. I feel like we know the story quite well. But we'll look down around mid-story, maybe around the 14th or the 18th verses. But we know the story. You had the Samaritan woman. Well, you had Jesus maybe around midday or so. Had stopped at the well, and just kind of a brief overview, you had the Samaritan woman that came to the well and had come to draw water. Now, I'd like to just briefly just kind of reflect on where her past a little bit. And you can read in verse 18 where Jesus was talking to her, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou sayest thou truly. So, again, we know the story. We know that she come from a very, she had some skeletons in her closet. She come from a very rough background, some very unethical things in her life, and she just found herself in a really bad situation. So much that, you know, she was up against a few things. In that society, if you look into it and read into it, women were kind of already looked down on anyway. They were kind of looked down on in the fact that they were kind of thought of as made to serve, made to work, do as I say. So she had that against her. But not only that she had made some bad decisions. Some bad decisions, and now she finds herself kind of an outcast, a social outcast. The things that she had done in her life was very looked down on, and she couldn't be with the other women. So here she finds herself coming to the well. She's She's in her routine. No doubt she's hurting. She's devastated. No doubt she knows her past. She knows the choices that she has made. She knows they weren't the right choices, but here is where she finds herself. Hurting, an outcast, looking for something to appease the pain in her life. And here she finds Jesus. And verse 13, they had some conversation. And in verse 13, Jesus started talking to her. And he said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." And I'd like to just pause there for a minute and just try to, maybe just try to think literally what Jesus was saying to her then. Again, knowing her past and what she was coming from and how she was trying to move forward with life, Jesus says, you know what? You can come and you can keep coming to this well. You can keep coming and drawing this water. You can keep coming and doing your day in and day out routine. And you can keep coming and drawing this water and trying to find some satisfaction. And you can keep coming and trying to find the things that's gonna get you away from your troubles. And yes, you need water. You need something to help you. And you can keep coming to this well over and over and over. But you can keep coming here, but nothing's gonna change. You're going to keep finding if you keep coming to this well, nothing is really truly going to be satisfied. No problem is going to get fixed. You still have to turn around. You still have to go back into town. You're still going to be shunned. You're still going to be considered an outcast. You can keep doing this over and over and over. Or, in verse 14, he says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of springing up into everlasting life." So here Jesus is saying, again, you can come and you can keep partaking of this literal water. But I have something better to give you. I have something more to give you. I have something that will take care of the past, that will take care of the hurts, that will take care of the being the outcast and the pain that comes with those things. And he didn't care who she was. He didn't care that she was a female. He didn't care that she was a Samaritan. He didn't care about her past. He didn't care what she had done in the past. Sure, there may have been some consequences she was going to have to pay, but he was offering her something. He was offering her something more than what she had available for herself. And thank the Lord that there are things made available to us by the Lord to help us get through those places in our life. No matter, again, I want to reiterate, no matter what kind of problems that we have had in the past, no matter what kind of skeletons we have had in the past, no matter what we have done, we still can find a place in the Lord that is so much greater than what this world has to offer. And what I think, I have nothing to offer, but we can come to a place in life where we think we have something that can get me out of this situation. I do appreciate so much the things that are at our disposal here in this life. I think of some of the problems that people have really gotten themselves into. There are some dark, scary things that people have gotten themselves into. And I really do. I appreciate and I'm thankful for those people that have put forth time and effort to write books, to develop programs, to provide places for these kind of people to come and to get help. I am so thankful that those things are in place. But they will never compare. They will never compare to what the Lord has to offer us to bring us out of these places. Many times you will find that these places and this help that you can get Many times, not all the time, but many times, they are a temporary fix. They are a quick fix. And many times, if we don't have something more sustainable, we'll find ourselves back in those old routines, back in those old ruts, and the cycle would just keep going over and over and over. But again, the Lord has something more to offer us. If you are dealing this evening with those types of things, if you are a person that has come from a rough past and there's still things that haunt you a little bit, and whether it be relationships and habits and things you've done and things you've never told nobody, whatever you think you have or whatever has been made available to you, we serve a God that we can come to and we can get more. We can get more than what the world has to offer, and we can certainly get more than what I have to bring to the table. There is more available through Jesus. It says He come to give life, and He come to give it more abundantly. He come to give a way out. He come to give more love. He came to give more grace, forgiveness, so much more than we will find anywhere. Anything that has been made available to us in this life. All right, so moving forward with that same thought of having more, or more through Christ. But now speaking to a different type of people. So we know that more is available, for sure, to the person, to the individual that has those types of backgrounds, those things in the past. So I ask a question. Can more, or is more available to the dedicated person, the child of God, the Christian? Is more available to that person? Well, most certainly. Most certainly. Tell you what, let's John chapter 6. I'd like again to take just a little portion of a story. John chapter 6, verse 26. And again, this portion of scripture comes right after the very well-known story of the feeding of the 5,000, and the miracle that was there with the loaves and the fishes. And that miracle took place. The people were fed. The food was gathered up. Jesus kind of exited there on his own. He quietly slipped away. The disciples did their thing. Later that night, I believe that's when he was walking on the water, if I have my story correct. And then we hear the very next day, this 26th verse. Well, let's look at verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So here the crowd, they had seen him the day before, and now they're coming to look for him. Again, I'm thinking this thought is directed to the child of God. The individual that knows Christ, the individual that is living as Christ would have them to live. That's putting forth every effort to be Christ-like. That's where this thought is at. So the people are going to look for him, verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. I'd like to pause there for a minute before we read any farther and just reflect a little bit on this story. of the feeding of the 5,000. I can with most certainty say that this miracle and this event in history was most undoubtedly the biggest and the most astonishing, probably public display of the power of God. I mean, it was a crowd of 5,000. Now, I don't know how many other crowds, how big they were when Jesus performed his miracles, but we know this was a substantial size crowd. And through this miracle, the people that were there were able to, through their senses, through their literal senses, were able to experience the reality of the power of God. They were able to experience this miracle, 5,000 of them, were able to experience this miracle firsthand. And I think how amazing that must have been to see a little portion of food and to see Jesus be able to take this food, lift up his eyes toward heaven. They could see him, see his actions. They could hear the words that he prayed. And then after the fact, after the prayer and the breaking, they were able to hold something in their hands that they could see, they could feel, they could no doubt smell, and they could taste. So they were able to experience, I mean literally experience, the power of God. But in that experience, I'm experiencing the power of God. But in that experience, how quickly did that fade? Very quickly. Jesus said, "Ye seek me not because you saw the miracle, not because you saw the power of God being made manifest. You're seeking me because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." So here we have possibly the biggest, the most, again, the biggest public display of God's power, maybe, that I've just witnessed. And as I'm witnessing that, as I am experiencing that, how quickly did that fade? It faded as quick as soon as I could get some food in my belly, then that's all I was thinking of. Jesus said, "You're looking for me just because you had a physical need and that physical need was filled. Yes, you saw the miracles. You were there and you saw the power of God being portrayed before you. But that faded. The power of God was realized only until the needs of their bodies were met." In the 27th verse, Jesus said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Clark said this about that verse. Clark said, "Most men are willing to receive temporal goods from the hand of God. But there are few, very few, who are willing to receive spiritual blessings." I would like to think in this day and time that it's kind of starting to become the end thing or the cool thing. And I don't mean to bring any disrespect to what I'm about to say, but it does seem like it's kind of becoming the norm, the new norm, to be a Christian. And what I mean by that is, I remember just in my short years of life, not very long ago, if you labeled yourself as a Christian, you were kind of looked at a little funny. It wasn't what the majority of the crowd did. But and I won't say that most, I don't have anything to back that up with, that most would label themselves as Christians, but I will say many would like to put themselves in that category. You can, if you do any reading at all, into news and those types of things, you will find that many celebrities, many athletes, many well-known big names out there will put themselves in that category of being a Christian, or they will put themselves under the umbrella of Christianity. Now, I think we have to recognize that many, won't use the word most, but many will fall under that label, fall under that umbrella, and they will still live the way they want to live, do the things they want to do. So, therefore, it really is just a title. It really has become just a label. That I can live and I can live the way I want to live, but I can still be under this label. I can still be a Christian. So, again, if that's the way that we approach that, or if that's the way the mentality that people think and the mentality that they have, then again, it just becomes a status symbol. But if I'm living under that label, and that's all I'm doing, is if I'm just living under that label, just so I can say, this man Jesus, he's a popular man. There's some great stories about him. I've heard of the awesome things that he can do. And I want to put myself under this label just so I can have some kind of connection to him. Just so I can say, I know he can do great things. I know he can do awesome things. And I know as I go through this life that eventually I'm going to face something. I know eventually I'm going to come up against something that's going to get a little tough. And as long as I can put myself under this label, as long as I can put myself under this umbrella and have some kind of connection with him, maybe to kind of just keep him in my back pocket, so to speak, then that's sufficient. If I'm living my life just so I can receive the tangible benefits, and just so I can experience the goodness of God and the physical things, then I've really missed the whole point. Now, I don't want to discredit and I don't want to take away from what God does for us in our lives, physically, literally, the tangible things that we have. We talked about it right before prayer, and I do not want to discredit or take away from that. Thank the Lord that He looks down and sees our physical needs. Just as when the 5,000 were able to partake of the food, they had a physical need met. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that He meets those physical needs. But if we approach this whole journey and this whole experience, and we're only doing it because I know the Lord in His goodness, I know what He can do, and I'm on this journey, I'm on this experience just to reach out to Him when I just need something, Lord, help me, because I've missed the reality and the real experience that Christ wants me to have with Him. How many times do we, and again, this is not the wrong way to approach it. I just know it's easy to get caught up in this kind of mindset. How many times have you just experienced something in life? Just these everyday things. you get in your car, and your car is making a funny noise. And you're driving along, and a thought pops in your head, Lord, this does not sound good. Please help this car to keep going. It don't sound good at all, but help me to get to be able to get to work and get back home. Or, Lord, I have a test coming up, and I need some help. I haven't maybe done the proper studying I need to do. Lord, I need some help on this test. When it comes time for test, can you please help my brain to work better than it's working? And can you help me to make a good grade on this test? And we can go through life and all these little things. You know, Lord, I have an event planned for the middle of this week, and I looked at the extended forecast, and it's showing rain. Lord, can you please hold off the rain? Again, the Lord wants us to come to Him with those types of things. But may we be careful that that's not our experience. May we be careful that that's not why we are living this life, just to experience those types of things from the Lord. The Lord has so much more. There is such a deeper experience that He wants us to experience, that He wants us to have, than just skimming the surface. I thought about it this way. You know, have you seen footage of, and this was just a literal picture that came to my mind, have you seen footage of what lies under some of the ocean floor and some of the beautiful, the reefs, the coral reefs and the colors and just the things that are down there that are just beautiful. They can be breathtaking. And thinking that if I'm a diver and I want to go down and see those types of things, you know what? I'm not going to be able to see those types of things if I'm just hanging out on the surface of the water. You know what? I'm going to have to get off the surface. And you know what? On the surface, there is some beautiful things. We can look out across that ocean on the surface of the water, and we can see, as was mentioned the scene, that we can see those western skies. We can see those beautiful sunsets. We can see all those beautiful things. But if we will be willing to dig a little deeper and go a little bit deeper, there is so much more in store for us that the Lord wants to give us. Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't spend all of our time and our energy going after those things, those physical, literal things, while they are blessings and we can receive blessings through those things. Don't go through life being that your only thing that you're holding on to. There is a power that the Lord wants to give us, that the Lord wants us to partake of. Don't be satisfied with just when a physical need is met. Thank the Lord that He meets our physical needs. But there are so many more opportunities that we can experience the power of the Lord. We have something so much more precious than the weather around us, the cars that we drive, the clothes that we wear, how big our bank accounts are. The Lord provides and helps us with all of those things. And oh, how He loves His children and He provides for them, and we should give Him the praise and the glory. But we have something so much more precious than that. We have a soul. And the Lord wants to give us the things that will sustain us. He wants to give us that water, that living water, that bread of life, those things that are going to feed, that are going to nurture me. He wants such a relationship, a deep relationship Was that verse we said in the beginning? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. An abundance of grace, an abundance of peace, an abundance of love, an abundance of life, an abundance of salvation. There is so much, dear Lord, even as the individual who is living their life, following the Lord and on the right path, don't ever doubt for a minute that we have it all. That I have everything that I already need. You know, that's a trap that the devil would like to get us in. You know, I've come to this place. I've given the Lord my heart. I'm doing the right things. I'm doing what He wants me to do, and that's all there is. No, the Lord has so much more, such a deeper experience that He wants us to have. I feel like that's my burden. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be willing, to be humble, to be able to reach out and accept the things that He wants to give us. You know, I look around and, again, it's so easy for people to want to put themselves in that category. You know, again, they put themselves under that umbrella, that label of Christian, and we feel like we mentioned this quite a bit, but you know, we do the right things and we say the right things and we do everything that's expected of us, what people expect us to do. But there's so much more to a relationship with Jesus than just those things that I should do or, you know, what people are expecting me to do. It comes down to a personal relationship and digging deep and finding what Christ has available for me, what He has made available for me, what He wants to give me to sustain me, that when I do go through life and I come up against these things, whether they be past temptations, whatever it may be, heartaches, hurts, past temptations, old habits, bad habits, that there is a place I can come to in Christ. There is something that I can get a hold of. There is a power that I can get a hold of that Christ wants to give me to get me through those things as I continue on my journey. Y'all pray for me. Thank you for your prayers.